Now that I had my own phone line, I was going to have to make sure that the phone bill didn't get out of hand. I knew that would be a little bit of a challenge because in New York, local calls were not free. There was a way of charging for local phone calls which really came out of the old days.
Number, please.
This charging scheme, based on the concept of message units, was complicated, confusing, and very revenue producing. And quite frankly, it was a little bit twisted. So, what's a message unit anyway?
Do you have a directory handy?
Of course. As it says right here, a message unit is a measurement of telephone usage. The charge for a particular call will be one or more message units depending upon how far you call and how long you talk. What it doesn't say is at the end of the month, you're going to get a phone bill with a mysterious number on it called additional message units. And that, of course, means a big charge.
Yeah, you got your phone bill today, $285.
Well, it's improving from last month.
That's how one of the original people from the 780 conference dramatized this event. All too familiar to downstate New Yorkers because, as everyone knew, local calls were not itemized. All you got at the end of the month was a number of additional message units, leaving you to try to figure out how the heck it happened.
Well, money's money and we'll take it any way we can get it from you.
So how did they set it up so that that was almost guaranteed to happen every month? I'll try to give you a quick overview, and I hope you've got a roll of coins with you because we're going to get nickeled and dimed to death. Oh, just one thing. Thanks to inflation, message units, which used to be 5 cents each, are now 5.5 cents each, so I guess that's a pretty lopsided roll of coins. But anyway, the primary method for making sure the phone bill would end up high was charging through the nose for any call that was more than 10 miles away. An example of this would be calling from my home in Long Island to the Butterfield 8 Exchange in Manhattan. This was between 15 and 20 miles away, and so it was a three-message unit call. But that's for just the first 5 minutes. After that, it was another message unit, and then every 2 minutes after that, and then 2 minutes after that, well, it added up pretty quick.
I love it.
Now, this rate structure was so complicated that the Public Service Commission barely understood it. In the mid-1970s, they allowed New York Tel to make a minor-looking adjustment in the overtime schedules, which just happened to add up to a 100% increase in the cost of calls to places like Butterfield 8. And thanks to the complexity of the charging scheme, there weren't any headlines about rates doubling. That can't happen if you have a simple rate structure, but keep it complex and then...
We are omnipotent.
But if you really wanted to see those lopsided coins disappearing, all you had to do was call out to Eastern Suffolk County, which was a seven-message unit call for the first 3 minutes, and then two-message units each additional minute. Now, this rate was actually higher than many toll calls at the time to other states. But the most fun way for the phone company to make money was... Hey, what happened?
I beg your pardon. 5 cents, please, for the next 5 minutes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Thank you.
Yes, from payphones, the 10-cent local call was timed. Every 5 minutes, you'd get hit up for another nickel. And by the way, 10 cents was also the rate for pay toilets in New York. Now, in New York Telephone's public office buildings, pay toilets were 10 cents, just like everywhere else. But if you stayed more than 5 minutes...
I beg your pardon. 5 cents, please, for the next 5 minutes.
Okay, just kidding. Just kidding. It's the wrong sound effect anyway. That's a home toilet. But anyway, the most crafty device they used to run that bill up was the availability in Nassau County of something called flat rate service.
Oh no, this must be a mistake.
Oh no, it wasn't, because flat rate service was a big moneymaker for the phone company. How could flat rate be a moneymaker? Well, it's really simple.
You're putting me on.
That's right, it wasn't simple at all. In fact, it's so complicated I can't explain it here. The bottom line is that flat rate only gave you free calling to a 5 mile radius while charging much higher rates for calls between 5 and 10 miles. If you wanted flat rate to save you money, you had to make sure that your friends all lived within a 5-mile radius and no friends lived between 5 and 10 miles away. Otherwise, it would end up costing you money. Then there was the fact that the monthly charge was twice that of message rate service, and for the privilege of paying all that, you had to forfeit the normal 75 message unit allowance that came with the other choice, message rate service. In other words... Well, that's going to have to go on for a little while, so let's just sum it up this way.
We may be the only phone company in town, but we screw everybody.
Now, if by any chance you're listening to this in the early 21st century, you might be saying, what's the big deal? Isn't everything like that? Well, it didn't used to be, even in the telephone business. In fact, just for a moment, let's contrast what I was just talking about with Atlanta, a place where flat rate meant flat rate. It was the world's largest free local calling area at the time, stretching from Acworth on the north side all the way down to Locust Grove on the south. The Atlanta local calling area included all the suburbs and all the surrounding rural communities too. The basic monthly charge in Atlanta was higher than in New York, but not higher than what New Yorkers ended up paying for local calls. So while telephone customers in New York were limiting their local calling, trying not to run up such a bill, Atlanta was local calling heaven. Ah, what's the use? This was New York. I knew that from my calling zone, which happened to touch the New York City border, by the way, a call to Manhattan would work out to 15.5 cents per minute in 2006 dollars. By 1976, due to a number of rate adjustments, that was up to 29.5 cents a minute. And this is for a local call to a bordering city. But fortunately for me, all my friends lived within a 10-mile radius, so calling them would just be one message unit per call, no matter how long I talked. And I had a 75 message unit allowance, hey. So if I just made 2 to 3 calls a day, I actually could stay within the allowance without paying for those additional message units when the bill came. As for everything else I called, it was a non-working number, like the party lines or the recordings I liked to call, or phone company test lines. So I figured I pretty much had the situation under control. Now, one of the things that made it fairly easy to dial around the country without running up a bill was the fact that in these days, the phone company did not like to assign phone numbers ending in 0000. And so I tried dialing 0000 as the last 4 digits in exchanges all around the country. It was very rare that I'd actually get a subscriber answer. Instead, I'd usually get a phone company recording that was unique depending upon what part of the country I was calling. Here's an example, dialed from my parents' line, which I recently found out was crossbar 5, and you'll notice the call goes through with the audible tones. This is the recording for vacant numbers in Washington, D.C.
I'm sorry. The number you have called is not a working number. Please check the number before dialing again. This is a recording.
Now, Washington, D.C. was the only place that used that particular text. Other cities had different ones. For example, here's a call to Kansas City. Now, I'm going to dial this one on my crossbar 1 phone line. You'll notice that you don't hear tones on long-distance calls from crossbar 1. Instead, you get a series of noises that sound like a bunch of doors opening and closing.
I'm sorry. The number you have reached is not in service at this time. Please be sure you are calling the correct number. If you need assistance, your operator will be glad to help. Thank you. This is a recording.
Your operator will be glad to help. It only said that in Kansas City, nowhere else. I suppose in New York City, your operator will just tell you to... No, I'm just kidding. Here's the recording for New Jersey, and again, notice that doors opening and closing sound that we get dialing it from my Crossbar 1 line.
I'm sorry. The number you have dialed has either been disconnected or not assigned. If you think you could have dialed incorrectly, please try again. Thank you. My voice has been recorded.
My voice has been recorded. That's the way New Jersey put it, and only New Jersey. Meanwhile, in the Dallas area, they had another approach. Say it right at the beginning.
This is a telephone company recording. I'm sorry, but the number you have reached is not in service.
Really? I would never have guessed that was a telephone call. Well, anyway, here's one from somewhere in the northern Midwest, I forgot where, but something happens on this phone call that did happen from my phone line every now and then when I called long distance. You'll see what I mean.
I have the number you're speaking from?
599-3662.
Thank you.
Special operator for disconnected numbers answering you on a recorded announcement. The number you have reached has been disconnected and there is no new number. May I repeat, the number you have reached is not a working number. Would you check the number and try again, please?
It was fairly normal for an operator to come on after the recording and ask for the number you dialed. What was not routine was the operator who came on and asked for the number I was calling from. That never happened from my parents' phone line, only from mine. And I knew it had something to do with the equipment type. More about that later. Now, sometimes when I dialed 0000, instead of a recording, I would get a phone company test line. An example was in the 831 exchange in upstate New York's 914 area. Now that tone was a fairly common one on phone company test lines, but this next example is a very unusual sounding test line, which I only found in one place, the 333 exchange in Chicago's area code. What on earth could that even be testing with all the beeps and the boops and what sounded like a busy signal? Well, I actually called that one a number of times because it really seemed fascinating to me. And speaking of beeps and boops, every now and then I would still call that mysterious 212-780 number, the one that had been that crystal clear conference with all those people on it. I still found myself dialing the number just to see if... Nope, no change. Well, in fact, after about 2 weeks, I dialed the old 780 number and got this.
check your directory or call the operator.
Hello?
You have reached a non-working number at the Department of Social Services. Please consult your directory or dial the operator. You have reached a non-working number. Please consult your directory or dial the operator. You have reached a non-working number at the Department of Social Services. Please consult your directory or dial the operator.
You want my number?
Hello?
What do you have?
You have reached
the
operator. Please check your directory or call the operator.
So, 2 weeks after they'd cut it off, the phone company decided that it was safe to put the recording back on and act like nothing had ever happened. And of course, you can see people have already started using this thing. However, one thing I noticed calling in during these days was that the old gang, Fred, Warren, Winnie, Selena and Sharon, Mindy, the wizard, weren't there. Why weren't they calling back in? True, it wasn't as good a party line as it had been before, but it was still a lot better than shouting on 311, so where were those guys? Then I remembered something Selena said.
Well, we have another line in reserve anyway.
In what?
We have another line in reserve.
Another line, huh? Well, since this 780 exchange in New York City appeared to be something unusual compared to others, I decided to dial around in it and see what I could find. Now, most of the numbers I tried in 780 ended up doing this. These ringtones were different from what I had ever heard before. For one thing, the ring was always very short, half the length of a normal ring, and it repeated more frequently. And the actual pitch of these ring sounds was kind of nondescript compared to the definite pitch of the rings that I was more accustomed to. So this 780 exchange had some sort of circuitry which was unlike that which served regular phones in the New York area. It probably wasn't crossbar 1 or crossbar 5. And then there was the fact that the ringtones varied. One part of 780 sounded like this, while another sounded like this. And that variation was unlike the regular telephone exchanges, which had the same ring no matter what number you dialed. Now, every now and then, I would find a recording like this.
This is a recording. You have reached a non-working number at Brooklyn College. If you are dialing from outside the college, please dial 780-5485. If you are within the college, consult your directory or dial operator for assistance. Thank you. Number. This is a recording. You have reached a non-working number at Brooklyn College.
And then I'd call another part of 780 and get this. The ones and the twos appeared to go to that place. The fives went to Brooklyn College, and the sevens...
This is a recording. The number you have dialed in Con Edison is not a working number. For information, call 460-4600. Thank you.
This was starting to get interesting, because each group of numbers in 780 appeared to be for a different organization. But there were some groups of numbers, most notably the 9,000 group and the 0,000 group, which didn't make the clicky noise at all. Instead, they just did this.
What number are you calling?
780-0111.
Okay. The number you dialed, 780-0111, is not a working number. Please consult your direct and dial again. This is a recording. Please consult your direct and dial again.
Now, when I tried to find a non-working number in the 780-8400 group...
Alan ever called you?
Did he get back on?
No.
He didn't?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, happy.
How many people are on now?
Two.
Hey, just you and Fred?
Sure. Yeah. Hello?
Fred still
there? Hey, you got a tiger on top of your stomach, Winnie. What? You got a tiger on top of your stomach. A tiger. A tiger. What's a tiger? Well, it's supposed to be a tiger, but he can't spell. I'm watching when he poops.
There they were. At least Fred, Winnie, and Selena. And it did turn out the whole gang was using this other so-called party line in the 780-83 and 8400 group. Now, this is something which may seem a little odd, but after having spent so much time on that first 780 line, I became really accustomed to the sound of it, especially the sound of people connecting. And what was odd about this other line of theirs was that it didn't sound the same. It was the same kind of line.
Hello? Hello?
But the ring-in sound was quite different. So for a minute, it was kind of eerie. Here was a line that sounded very much like the other one, but not quite. And at this point, it finally dawned on me what it was I was looking at. The 780 Exchange was a collection of mini exchanges, each one for a different company or organization. They all had vacant number recordings, and sometimes the recordings broke down, which was what the first 780-62 conference was. Now that conference has a recording and everyone's talking on it, but this also means that some of these other recordings are probably usable as party lines too. So the recording at Brooklyn College, the recording at Con Edison, these might all be conferences you could talk on. And from listening to the 780-84 line, it did become clear that these people already knew of some others. For example, I'd often hear people say, "Let's get on 85 and we'll talk about it." 85. What could that mean? Well, of course, the first thing I had to try was the numbers in the 780-8500 group. I actually tried dialing all of the numbers beginning with 780-85, and most of them did this. Another weird ring, which was slightly different from other parts of 780. But not all of the 780-85 numbers rang. For example, 8599 was always busy. But what really piqued my interest were the numbers 8536, 42, 77, 98, and 90, because they all did this. Now this sounds as if I have just rung into one of these so-called party lines when nobody else is on. This was 8536, and so I put my phone down and went over to my parents' line to try the same number. Busy. Well, maybe these numbers don't work as a party line. But you know, it might really be that it's one person per number. Let me try dialing 8542 here on my parents' line, and then I'll run back to my line and see if I hear it connecting. Okay, we're back on my line now, and hopefully... Far out. That's the sound I was looking for. This thing is a party line. And you know, I later tried out the numbers with my dad, and it turned out that they all connected except 8590, which just went silent and didn't connect with anything else. so only four people could get on the 8-5 party line. And that's why they were using this one to go off and have a private conversation, very much like the private chat mode in IRC. But it didn't stop there. There was also talk of something called 830, and I was very happy to discover that most 830 numbers made this sound. That's right, so this was another one of those interesting exchange codes that was made up of sub-exchanges, as I was calling these things. I didn't know what else to call them. And in dialing through 830, I found something interesting on the 83057 numbers. This is a recording, but it plays once and then there's a long silence before it repeats again after about 2 minutes. Now hold on a sec and I'll go dial a very nearby number that goes to this recording on my parents' line. I'll put the phone up to the radio and we'll see if it comes through. Okay, I dialed it, and it ought to be coming in any second now.
The most music, WABC!
More music power in the Ingram Travesty at 77 Radian. Kind of nice and easy now. Just to mention...
Well, that worked. Let me go hang it up.
21 past 3, one last bell to answer.
Okay, I'm back. You know, since nobody's on this line except me, I have to assume that 830 does not refer to this one, but some other number in 830. So I'm going to have to keep looking. But in the meantime, look what we have here. This is another potential party line just waiting to be used. And it's quite usable because the recording only plays once every 2 minutes. And of course, it's now clear that 780, though special, was not unique. There are other office codes filled with these sub-exchanges. Hang on a sec, the recording's about to repeat.
This is Con Edison Company, Astoria, Queens. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time. Please check your directory and dial again. If you still have trouble, dial our operator at 460-4600. Thank you.
It's a little awkward to converse this way, but not so bad. What I have to do now is find that other party line that everyone is referring to as 830. Okay, I checked around, and here it is, 83083. So now, I had a lot of research to do, and it was hard to know where to begin. So I started with the office code 270.
This is a recording. You have reached a non-working number in the East New York Savings Bank. Please consult your directory or call 270-6223. 270-6223. Thank you.
You're welcome. And there were other things in 270.
This is a recording. You have reached a non-working line at the Brooklyn Cumberland Medical Center.
Now that one turned out to be a very talkable recording. The savings bank, not so much. This was starting to get a bit overwhelming because the potential here was almost endless. Most of the office codes that ended in zero in New York City had sub-exchanges in them. And also many of the office codes beginning with 57 and 55, plus a few other ones that I didn't expect, like 264. I didn't know whether to go through each office code with a fine-tooth comb and find absolutely everything, or whether to jump around from one to another. There were so many.
Pfizer Incorporated.
The Reuben H. Donnelly Telephone Directory.
Interstate Department Store.
Hunter College.
Citibank.
You have reached a non-working number in the Brooklyn Union Gas Company.
You have reached an unassigned number at the U.S. government.
The Bank of Tokyo.
All I was doing was dialing disconnected or unassigned numbers in the numerical ranges used by each of these organizations. Most of these recordings were a potential party line, either by talking through it or when the recording broke down. And these things were all over the city.
New York Life Insurance Company.
The Time and Life Building. Chemical Bank.
This is the Holland American Life.
The Francis New York.
RCA.
The Metropolitan Life Insurance Company.
General Telephone and Electronics.
Bay Ridge Welfare Bureau.
The Department of Parks.
Alan Sanders Department Store.
U.S. Steel.
Manufacturers Hanover Trust Company.
Bellevue Hospital.
Home Insurance.
You've reached a non-working number at E.J. Corvette.
Howard Senior Hospital.
Bankers Trust.
Roy Simon Company.
Knight Vincent Hospital.
North Coast Community College.
Rockefeller University,
Blue Cross Blue Shield,
Welfare Center,
Department of Social Services.
It was early November of 1970, and this was the beginning of a research project that really wasn't finished until 1972. And it wasn't me, but a friend of mine who I haven't met yet at this point, who did the real thorough research on these things. There were so many of these things in New York City that it literally was not until 1986 that I saw the last one of these being used as a conference line. As for Brooklyn Cumberland, the last time I spoke on that one was 1981. Eventually, of course, the phone company did learn to deal with these things in a more professional way, thanks largely to a certain gentleman named Mr. Duffy. But even after they began to deal with it effectively, a new way of still being able to talk opened up that only my friends and I knew about. So this really was the beginning of something that was going to go for a long, long time, and I hadn't even begun to meet the phone freaks yet. Of course, the future would hold a number of disappointments and losses with regard to conference lines, which I had yet to imagine, but in November of 1970, there was no end in sight. In the next segment, I'll tell you how my first phone bill came out. The events described here are true. However, the New York telephone overtime system never said thank you, as is implied humorously here. Since very few recordings were made in November of 1970, I've reconstructed this using tapes from later times in the 1970s. The Dallas Intercept recording was in fact more fluttery than is depicted here, but my original tape of it was too noisy to use. The only conference recording actually from the time here is the 830. Everything else has been reconstructed, but the 78083 contains the voices of three people who were there at the time. The Centrex recording clips are from 1971 and 1974. Some of these recordings were different in 1970, and a few of the ones not talked about but featured briefly might not have been installed in 1970. The recording from the Northern Midwest was carefully put into a real context, depicting it as being in a step-by-step exchange. However, since I don't recall where that recording was from, it is possible that it came from a city that did not have step, such as Detroit or Milwaukee. Many of the calls to 780 and 830 depicted here are inaccurate in only one detail, and that is that the wire trunks from Lynbrook, Long Island, to either downtown Brooklyn or North Jamaica, don't sound quite resonant enough to have actually been that many miles away. The Centrex ringtones depicted here are all real and from New York City, but it is possible that in some places I've got the wrong ring with the wrong Centrex.